This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're looking at some of the most endangered jobs of 2014. The job market has lots of opportunities for those who work in the Information Technology Center, but to make room for the new, it's often out with the old. CareerCast took a look at 200 different careers and put together a report on the jobs with the lowest growth or the most endangered jobs. A lot of them have one thing in common, a dependence on paper. Here to talk about the most endangered jobs of 2014 is Tony Lee. He's the publisher of CareerCast.com. Tony, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with how you come up with this list for the most endangered jobs. What is it based on?
So we've been doing jobs-rated reports on CareerCast.com for many years, and we have a pretty sophisticated methodology. Without spending a lot of time getting into it, we look at things like what's the average earnings, what's the hiring outlook for the next 8 years, what's average salary, and has the salary gone up, gone down, is it expected to go up or go down, what's the level of stress in the job, how much autonomy do you have. So we look at a wide range of criteria. And then based on that, for this list, we looked at those that had the worst hiring outlook, or frankly, in most of these cases, a negative hiring outlook, meaning there's going to be fewer people in these jobs moving forward if the job doesn't, in fact, disappear completely over the next, 8, 10, 12 years. And we look at earnings. And so based on that, we come up with this list.
Well, in the group that you've got here of these 10 most endangered jobs, what are the things that they have in common?
Well, in each case, there are going to be fewer people in these jobs, in 8 years than there are now. So if you're a new college graduate or a young worker who's thinking, yeah, I'm going to change careers to find one I like better, if you identify one of these as the job you want to go into, the competition to get the job is going to be far tougher because there are going to be fewer of them. And, in fact, the pay is probably going to be even worse than the pay we see here, because they simply, based on supply and demand, they simply don't have to pay as much to find people to take these jobs.
Well, and on another track, it looks like industries involving paper, as a general rule, are on their way out, or at least struggling. Why? I think we can all guess why that is, but can you walk us through it?
Yeah, sure. Well, of the 10 jobs, four of them are very directly related to the paper industry. Should I start going through the jobs?
Sure.
Okay. Well, the worst job on our list in terms of hiring outlook, salary, and the rest is mail carrier. And it shouldn't be a huge surprise. The Postal Service has made it clear that they're losing money every year. They're talking, pretty consistently about closing post office and cutting back on postal delivery and the rest. So if you're a mail carrier, the interesting thing is if you're a mail carrier today, if you have the job, if you've had the job for years, you're actually in good shape because you have a pension. And if you get let go, you're going to be, you're going to have various benefits waiting for you. But if you're someone who wants to become a mail carrier, you're going to have great difficulty. The hiring outlook for mail carriers is expected to drop by 28% over the next 8 years. The median salary now is $53,000. That's expected to fall fairly dramatically for anyone who comes into the position. And what it has to do with paper is that mail is printed somewhere. So there's less need to send letters when you have email, when you have text, when you have Instagram, when you have Twitter, when you have all the other options. So that's a big piece of it. But the other big piece is you have many fewer catalogs going out, mail order business, because people go online and buy. Hmm. So the need to have carriers bringing letters and bringing catalogs just simply isn't what it used to be.
I don't know if you like to get into the forecasting business, but do you see a day when we don't really have paper mail at all?
I wouldn't be surprised. Whether it's going to happen in our lifetime or not, I'm not sure. But, you could say the same for many of the jobs on this list, that it's possible there will be a day where you won't have individuals, doing these jobs anymore.
We've been hearing about the struggling post office for a long time. How long do you think that the industry and mail carriers as a profession will still be around?
I think that there's going to be a need. What you'll likely see is instead of six-day delivery, it'll fall to five or four or three. It'll just happen less frequently. And that's true. Another paper job on our list is newspaper reporter. And the same is true for newspapers. You've already seen newspapers cut back delivery, cut back production. Instead of 7 days a week, they may go to five or four. So newspaper reporter is on our list for a very similar reason. You know, the print newspaper, as we all know it, you know, what the livelihood and length of that product will be is anybody's guess. But the hiring outlook is for a decline in newspaper reporters, 13%. Average salary now is 37, and it's expected to fall. Now, we are being very careful to say newspaper reporter and not journalist, because online journalists, people who are writing for the Huffington Posts of the world, you know, they do have a good hiring outlook. The catch is that, again, supply and demand, the need for those journalists is not as great as it had been for print newspaper reporters, so salaries are low. So getting the jobs are tough, and the pay is not much better.
Well, number two is a kind of a big blow to Wisconsin. You've got a farmer at number two. Why did farmer make it onto this list?
Yeah, so that is, you know, contrary to what I just said, farmer is one of the jobs where, you know, there will always be people farming. The difference is the hiring outlook, according to the Department of Labor, is for a decrease of 19% of farmers over the next 8 years. And the reason is, as many Wisconsin farmers can probably tell you, consolidation within the industry. You have much larger farms that are going through and buying up or consolidating smaller farms, and they're doing the same level of business and the same level of farming with fewer farmers. So they don't need as many people. That's half the story. The other half, of course, is technological innovation. So you now have equipment that's able to do farming work that used to have to be done manually. And so that's eliminating positions as well. So those two combined mean that there will be fewer individual farmers or people who call themselves farmers moving forward. Of course, it doesn't mean that farmers will disappear. It just means that, you know, making a career as a farmer with your own individual plot and doing your own individual work in a way that's sustainable so that you can earn an income is going to be tougher.
Well, I hear what you're saying about the technology aspect of this, but on the other hand, you've got this local food movement, which seems to be on the up and up and gaining steam around the country. Is it possible that that could offset what you're talking about?
It could be. If you ask the Labor Department, what they say is that is considered, and that is, you know, built into the statistics. But without the local food movement, it would be that much worse. So what the local food movement is doing is saving some people who, you know, had been farmers traditionally in their family for years and allowing them to kind of pivot a bit and go into something else, which is great. But the number of farmers who are in the local food movement and who are making a, you know, a sustainable living without someone else, you know, earning an income, you know, in the family is not very large. You know, you hear about the exceptions of folks who, you know, hit it big and do extremely well. But there are exceptions in every field, and we don't really look at the exceptions. We look at the rule. And the rule is the need for individual farmers is falling and is projected to fall.
You've been looking at this kind of thing for a while, and we're going to get to more on the list as we continue our conversation. But have you, in your line of work, seen game changers come in and turn the whole industry around?
Yeah, but not in any of these fields. We have, I mean, if you, it's interesting, if folks who are listening are really into this, if you go to careercast.com and click on Jobs Rated and go into the methodology, you can actually see the detail of how we come up with these rankings. You know, it's not surveys, it's not, you know, we don't lick our finger and stick it in the air and see where the wind is heading. It's actually a data analysis. And what the data analysis says in terms of turning things around is STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math, have projected very strong growth over the next 8 years. So I guess the advice would be, if you're a mail carrier or a newspaper reporter or even a farmer and you're looking for a career that's going to pay off, if you have any of the skills of someone who can work in math or work in science, then that's the field where you want to go.
Well, we're talking right now to Tony Lee of CareerCast.com about the most endangered jobs of 2014, and we'll be taking your calls in just a bit. Do you work in one of these endangered careers? What is your experience like? Does it feel like a diminishing career or not so much? Do you not feel it that way? What are things like in your field, and are you worried about the one that you're in? How is technology changing or replacing your career? You can call in and share your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can send us email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Veronica Rickert. We'll get to your calls in just a bit. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. We're taking your calls now as we look at the 10 most endangered jobs of 2014 as foretold by CareerCast.com, looking at jobs like farmer, like mail carrier, newspaper journalist, and of course the list goes on. The travel agents are on the list, and lumberjacks are on the list, drill press operator. 10 most endangered jobs there. Wondering what you think. Do you feel like you are in an endangered career? And what do you do if you're in one of these jobs? How do you transition out? Does it worry you? And I don't know, are you nostalgic to see some things perhaps go away, like a mail carrier, for instance, or a farmer? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us email to talk@WPR.org. As we continue our conversation now with Tony Lee. And Tony, we have a comment here from Brad on Facebook who noted that many of the endangered jobs are in male-dominated fields. What do you say to that? Is that true?
You know, I'm not sure that I agree with that. We didn't get through the whole list, so you know, maybe I'll name out a few others. You mentioned travel agent. Typically not male-dominated. Flight attendant is on the list, also typically not. And then the others, you know, perhaps, although there are quite a few female mail carriers. Another one on the list is meter reader. And I think, you know, that's also one that either gender can do. Newspaper reporters definitely have had a large contingent of women. So unfortunately, I think everybody's affected whether you're male or female.
Now, we've been talking about paper and how that is playing a key role. And there you've got lumberjack on the list again as another endangered one. I guess that's all the way back to paper again.
It is. Lumberjack and printing plant worker, both of them for the same reasons. You know, newspapers aren't buying as much paper, so they don't need as much paper, so they don't need as many people in the printing plant. And lumberjacks, you know, same basic idea. The purchase of paper for newspapers was one of the leading need of lumberjacks. The other issue for lumberjacks is, you know, we had a downturn in the housing market, and now it's coming back. And yet it allowed the lumber companies to find technological replacements for a lot of lumberjacks. So it's the same basic idea, the kind of work that a lumberjack might have done through the day, there's now machinery and equipment that can do, you know, a lot of that. So if you had eight lumberjacks working a field before, you might only have four now. So that's what causes the reduction in employment opportunity.
Well, then you've also got travel agent on the list. That one surprised me a little bit because it seems as though the world is becoming so global. The economy is global. Don't people still need to travel places and want to travel?
Well, Veronica, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you called a travel agent to purchase an airline ticket?
I do it online.
Thank you.
There you go.
There you go. So, you know, travel agents, and you know, they're expecting a decrease in travel agents by 12%, average salary about $34,000. The reason, you know, travel agents take up arms over this and say, well, we've just changed. You know, yeah, people don't call us for an airline ticket anymore, but they do call us if they want, you know, a really interesting vacation, and they don't want to have to deal with booking the hotels and booking the cars or the group packages or whatever. So there's still a role for travel agents. However, you know, like the other jobs on this report, just not as many are needed. So it's a tough position to, or a tough field to get into if you're expecting any kind of hiring growth and salary growth in the future.
All right. Well, I see your reasoning on travel agent, but what about flight attendant?
You know, it's interesting because with flight attendant, the change is a little different. So you have seen airlines consolidate flights into larger aircraft. So if before there might have been, you know, let's say there were six flights a day from Milwaukee to St. Louis, well, now there might be three flights a day on bigger planes. Well, that means you don't need quite as many flight attendants. So the need for attendants is expected to fall down 7%. The other issue is that opportunity isn't there. If you've been on flights lately, you've probably noticed flight attendants aren't, you know, 22-year-olds much anymore. They're primarily folks who've been doing this for a living for a long time and are not interested in retiring or leaving because they've earned their benefits up to a certain point and they don't want to give that up. So the need for new flight attendants, when you need fewer of them, is just not rising. So it's, again, a very tough field to break into.
I'm going to go to a caller now and take Danielle in Shell Lake. Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
What do you think?
I'm sorry, what?
What do you think to this, about this, what we're hearing?
Oh, I called in because I am a news reporter, and I was kind of taken aback when I heard my crew here on the line, and I had graduated from college in 2010, so that was news to me. And I currently work in that field in a small hometown newspaper. I just don't think that, I mean, I feel that our industry is willing to grow and change, and to say completely write us off is ridiculous.
All right. Well, thank you, Danielle. That's an interesting perspective. Danielle graduating in the field in 2010. Here, 4 years later, she's seeing her career on an endangered species list. What about adaptation in terms of a growth of an industry pivoting and coming back?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm thrilled with Danielle's enthusiasm. Sadly, I have to say it's a little youthful exuberance there. If you look at the statistics from the Newspaper Association of America, revenues have fallen every year for the last 8 years. The number of print newspapers in the country have fallen every year for the last 8 years. And the projections are for both to continue. So, you know, smaller community papers have been kind of shielded a little bit. So maybe that's what she's thinking. But if you look at, you know, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or any of the larger papers in the state, I guarantee you that it's thinner, with less information and many fewer employees than were there before the recession. So not great. Now, to your question, transferable skills are kind of a key issue here. If you're in one of these fields or have been thinking about getting into one of these fields, what you need to do is think about the types of things that you do during the day, what your skills are, and then what other professions those skills can be applied to. So, for example, if you had your heart set on being a print newspaper reporter because you like interviewing people and you know, writing about what you talk to people about, well, there are other fields where you can do that. You know, we talked about online, you know, sites and working for an online site. That's logical. But public relations is a field where you do that same type of work. You know, there are actually quite a few different jobs. So once you identify those skills and then look at other professions where you can go, it ends up not being quite as negative.
And what else is on your list?
So, yeah, the only ones we haven't talked about drill press operator, which is another one of those positions where technology is making changes. So you don't need quite as many people to do that job. And then we've got, believe it or not, tax examiner, which seems to surprise people because, gee, taxes aren't going anywhere. In fact, they're always going up. But again, this is a profession where software has changed the number of tax examiners who are needed by any municipality. So if you work for, you know, the town of Madison and you're a tax examiner, you can probably attest to the fact that Madison has software now where instead of having a room full of tax examiners, they need fewer because the software is doing the work of some of them. So it's one of those fields where hiring outlook is negative and salary is expected to fall.
So does that mean if you're in one of these industries that your job is in danger now, or does this mean that 10 years down the road you could be in trouble, or new people entering the field could be in trouble?
Yeah, unfortunately, the answer is yes to both. It really depends on your particular job, your particular situation, the employer that you work with. I guess the best way to think of this is as a warning. You know, if you're in one of these jobs and you're, you know, 28 years old or 35 years old, you know, the likelihood of you being negatively impacted in your career is extremely high. If, on the other hand, you're in one of these jobs and you're already 62, well, then you're probably not too worried about it. You figure, well, I'll make it through to retirement and I'll be fine. So it's really the perception of where you are in your career and, you know, what you want to try and get out of your career. Wouldn't you rather be in a career where there's going to be growth and, you know, hiring demand and rising salaries versus one where you're always going to be worried about, is this the year I lose my job?
All right. Well, you mentioned STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math as fields that seem like they're on the up and up. Any other fields that people should be considering as growth fields?
Yeah, I mean, really, any type of position within the whole STEM area is going to be strong. I mean, STEM is actually really big. I mean, it ranges from, you know, the irony is, you know, we have tax examiner on this endangered list because it's, you know, you're working for typically a municipality. On the other hand, accountants and auditors and data analysts, they're on the lists of fastest growing jobs. So if you're good with math, good enough to be a tax examiner, then you're probably good enough to be an auditor or an accountant and have a very strong career. Another area that's really good that, you know, doesn't even require a college degree are things like web development. I mean, if you know HTML and can create a web page, maybe you learned it even in high school, you could have a very good career without even getting a college degree. Another good example is, you know, a lot of healthcare careers are on the list of strong careers with a lot of growth. But that includes things like dental hygienist, where you don't necessarily even need a four-year degree to be a dental hygienist and have a strong career. So there are lots of different directions you can go, whether you have the degree or not.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was Tony Lee, publisher of CareerCast.com.